Christ the Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You can do better than that. Christ the Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the First Congregational Church of Natick, I'd like to welcome you here this morning. The First Congregational Church of Natick is an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. And we welcome you and remember that whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. Thank you for being here on such a special day. I'm trying to do this. Oh, and welcome, of course, to those who are joining us online. And our thanks are extended to Pegasus for making it possible. Following the announcements, we'll be lighting the Christ candle. So I invite people at home to have a candle ready so you can join in that experience with us. Prayer requests can be written on a piece of paper, and you can raise your hand, and the ushers will collect it and bring it forward during the prayer time. You can email your prayer requests to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org, or you can email it directly to my cell phone at 978-790-8250. Perhaps the most important announcement today is that there will be an Easter egg hunt after worship. And so for the children, and the kids are going to come up at the blessing time, and we'll give instructions then. We'll have a post-worship fellowship, and for people who are joining us virtually, you can join on that via Zoom. And if you're here in bodily form, it'll be downstairs in the vestry. The time has come to light the Christ candle. We remember that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." So we light it to invoke Christ's presence among us as we worship. We light it to remember that Christ calls us to be the light of the world and sends us out in the world to be that light. Jeanette.
Good morning. Please join together in our responsive call to celebration. This is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We gather today to shout, Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Out of the doom of death and despair, victory comes. Glory appears. We gather today to shout, Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We shall live, witness, and recount the deeds of God whose love endures forever. We gather today to shout, Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. We greet the dawning brightness of this special day with hopes renewed. We have known grief and sorrow, loss and tears, fear and failure. Meet us here, living Christ, for we need this time of resurrection. We need your healing presence. We need your word of greeting that welcomes us into the community of faith in spite of our doubts and questions. You are the great teacher. We have come to learn from you. Make your presence known to us in this time of worship. Amen.
It's such an exciting day for First Church Natick that the transition team has been formed, called together by God and this congregation. And today is the day that we will commission and bless them. So I invite the transition team to come forward. Mindy, Janine, Miriam, and Jeanette, Lane, and Ken. You can just block off Jeanette there.
I'll get out of the way.
Gotta be tight for hangers. I know that.
Friends, the people before you have accepted the call of the First Congregational Church of Natick to serve as its transition team. It's this team of people who will lead the congregation in the completion of the local church profile, which will be used to call the next pastor. Now remember, I said they will lead the congregation. They're not going to do all the work, the congregation is. This group of people were chosen because of their wisdom, their ability to hear and represent different points of view, their reputation of fair-mindedness and even-handedness, all undergirded by their love of God and this church. Moses was instructed by his father-in-law, Jethro, to surround himself with wise counselors as he led the people of Israel. In that same way, this congregation will surround itself with this team of trusted, wise counselors as you discern God's will moving into the future which God is calling you. On their behalf, I ask your prayers as this journey begins. Friends, you have been chosen. You have been called to serve on the transition team and facilitate the good people of First Church Natick in its discernment of God's will for this congregation in the future. Therefore, I ask, do you, Mindy, Janine, Miriam, Janet, Lane, and Ken, do you covenant to follow the leading of the Spirit, all the while being people of prayer and discernment, listening for God's voice while discerning God's will for the future, and then faithfully and prayerfully completing the church's local church profile,
with the help and blessing of God and his congregation.
Do you covenant to follow the leading of the Spirit in all you do and lay aside your own personal preferences as best as you are able? Lay aside your own personal preferences. best as you are able, while God's vision for this congregation is discerned. Do you covenant to communicate in a Christ-like manner with each other and your fellow parishioners, and to encourage honesty and transparency with all people, speaking the truth in love?
We do, with the help and blessing of God, in this congregation.
Will you please rise in body or spirit? Members, friends, First Church Native, you have heard the covenants of your siblings in faith. Will you offer your blessing of covenantal love and support while trusting the Spirit moving in their midst? Do you covenant to support this team by your engagement and praying regularly for them? Please hold out your hands of blessing towards the team as you respond as printed in the bulletin. By the grace of God, yes, we do. We commission and bless you for the work that lies ahead, trusting that you will be a blessing to God and to our congregation. We offer you our prayers, support, and engagement with thanks for the gifts you have been given and now offer to God on our behalf.
Give a clap before we
Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Almighty and gracious God,
lead us and guide us. Open our minds and teach us. Open our hearts and surround us with your love, that we may feel your presence in all we do. Fill us with the wisdom and awareness of your revelation as we seek a new pastor and spiritual leader. Grant us in the energy of spirit, willing to attempt new tasks and face new ways. Let us be mindful of the need to listen to your still small voice rather than our own interests and desires. Grant continued grace and commitment to those who have been called to serve as members of the transition team, that they may become faithful companions to each other and to the church.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Please offer a sign of peace to each other in ways that are comfortable for you and safe for you. The gifts that we bring to this community and offer to God compound and create resurrection power, helping us to awaken wholeness in the broken, strengthen in the weakened, and liberation for all living in the midst of injustice. Let's share our generosity with each other, with the community, and with God. Offerings may be placed in plates at this door and that door. They may be mailed to the church, or they may be made online at firstchurchnatick.org. Let us continue to worship God with our offerings. Let's pray together for the wondrous ways this offering will bless this community. Help us nurture caring relationships with our neighbors and our ministry, liberating all who are experiencing oppression. We dedicate these Amen. Please be seated.
Today's reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, familiar verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Here ends our reading.
Thank you, Jeanette. Let's just remember the reading for a second. Jesus said to Mary, go and tell the disciples. And she did, and then said, I have seen the Lord to the disciples. Jesus commissioned a woman to be the first preacher. And we often miss that in the church. It's worthy of lifting up. So, my GPS feature on my phone has led me to a new understanding of Easter and resurrection this year. Now, I'm sure you don't know this about me, except I shared it with you downstairs. I have many, many, many challenges getting from here to there. Every single time. When I finally get there and try to return to here, my GPS is the equivalent of Hansel and Gretel's crumbs. And when I don't know how to get from here to there, my anxiety skyrockets. And my mood plummets, seemingly in inverse proportion to each other. I'm so geographically challenged, for example, that if I know how to go from point A to point B, and I know how to go point B to point C, I'm constitutionally unable to go from A to C without going through B first. I might get lost. It's not pretty. Thankfully, for the sake of our family, I suppose, my phone has a GPS. Honestly, it has changed my life. Before I had a GPS, I'd always look up the directions and then add at least half an hour, if not more, to the travel time, since I would invariably get lost. I was unable to enjoy the ride or my family because of the fever pitch of my anxiety. I would snap at the slightest distraction, a question by my daughters, or the dog's bark, or, heaven forbid, a dropped stitch in Carinelle's knitting, to say nothing of a construction detour, which would precipitate something akin to a full nuclear meltdown in me, and I would sink even further into despair. When we finally arrived at our destination, even if it was just 30 minutes away, the four of us would emerge from the car just like victims of a national disaster, all needing to take a long nap to restore our personal and family equilibrium that had been disrupted by my navigational inadequacies. Now, things are different. I use my phone. Perhaps the most important feature of my GPS was the newfound sense of freedom and adventure that it offered me. Before the GPS, I was always inextricably bound to the printed directions. I was entombed, if you will. We never explored the beautiful side roads to see where they might lead. We always stopped at the same restaurants for fear of getting lost. And now, get this, we go wherever we want, willy-nilly, just as we please. And when I take that unanticipated turn, the computerized voice simply says to me, "Recalculating." And almost instantly comes up with a new route to reach our destination. Just like that, recalculating. Gone are the days of my internal high-pitched voice screeching at me, "Where are you going? What were you thinking? We'll get lost, we'll be late. Danger, Will Robinson." The GPS feature has changed our family life and our time together on trips. Family car trips, if you can believe it, are now enjoyable and free from anxiety. Oh, anxiety, where is thy sting? Let's turn here and see if we can find an ice cream stand. I wonder where this road goes. With my phone and its GPS feature, it's as if my internal story has been rewritten and life has begun again. New life has come where once it seemed like we were always at a dead end. The promise of the resurrection that we celebrate today empowers us. It requires us to live our lives as fully as possible. Now, in the present, the promise of the resurrection is a promise of fuller life today. It's not simply a theological construct that might provide comfort to us and our family at the time of our death. Recalculating death is so much more than simply being undead. Recalculating death is knowing, believing, embodying the truth that we can live free from anxiety, knowing that with God there are no dead ends in life. Recalculating death just isn't a belief. It's a view of life that overcomes anxiety and fear and leads to confidence and well-being. Recalculating death shows us once again that new life comes where once it seemed like we were at a dead end. Just like the GPS rewrote my internal story of cartology, the promise of Easter rewrites our internal stories and leads us to new life. When Mary met the risen Christ in the garden, in essence, he told her to recalculate, to make a turn towards fuller life. As one commentator wrote, The secret is giving who we are and what we have completely and wholly away to something greater than ourselves. The secret is giving who we are and what we have wholly away to something greater than ourselves. In escaping from the circumstances and choices that entomb us, and entering into life here and now. In life and in death, Jesus modeled this generosity and transformation for followers then and now. As we embrace resurrection as a credible and meaningful principle for living, we, like Jesus, can become more than anyone around us or even ourselves could have imagined. We can become more than anyone around us could have imagined. When we move and live and have our being in God, when we recalculate death, we never, never reach a dead end with nowhere to go. The promise of the resurrection is no more dead ends. The goal of recalculating death is to integrate the belief in new life so authentically, get this, that we begin to live our lives as if we really believed it. So that we're no longer afraid of dead ends, whether they're found in the family truckster on the way to the Cape or at the bedside of a loved one. The goal of recalculating death in the realm of God is to believe, to know that no matter what road we go down, we'll never get lost. No matter how many wrong turns we take. God's final word to us in any situation, is recalculating with the next turn suddenly and clearly opening in front of us to find our way home. Always. Over and over and over again throughout our lives. To turn dead ends of our wrong turns and our wrong decisions and our wrong choices into cul-de-sacs of opportunity. The promise of Easter emboldens us to turn around and move in a different direction. Some might call it forgiveness. Some might call it grace. Others still will call it love. However we name it, it's God's promise to us. Even when our minds forget and become preoccupied with so many things, this is a promise. The promise of the resurrection is stitched in to our very being. It's as much a part of us as our blood and bones. In light of God's promise, how can we stay dead? No matter what happens to us, God gives us the opportunity to recalculate, to turn around to find the way to be our best selves, to live our best lives, and to fully live into all that God intends for us. How can we stay dead? Christ the Lord is risen, risen indeed. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we gather our hearts in prayer, I would like to ask you to keep on your hearts all those that are listed on the prayer list in the bulletin. The people of Ukraine and Russia. Patrick Foley. Are there any from the email? I don't know who I'm asking, really. I'm asking you. Thank you very much. I don't see any that have been texted. One member of the congregation writes, "Prayers of thanksgiving for the earth and all the many forms of life that make this planet home and make it habitable. And on this Easter, a special prayer of thanksgiving for fungi that for a billion years have sustained the cycle of life through restoration and resurrection, demonstrating that death is but the beginning of a new life and hope for the future." Are there other prayer concerns that people would offer before the congregation? Joys, concerns, prayers? Doug?
Prayer is celebration for the return of the Patriots Day Marathon tomorrow.
I'm not sure you're supposed to pray for that, Doug, but prayers of thanksgiving for the return of the marathon. Others? Somebody's. Oh, Heather.
Joyous gratitude for a populous congregation and children.
Amen. Joyous thanksgiving for a big congregation and children in the sanctuary. Yay. That's as good as an amen. Others. My rabbi, Rabbi Alan Alpert, forwarded this to me. It's a prayer poem written by Leanne Shamish, who's the education director at Congregation Beth Elohim in Acton. And this year, both Passover and Easter occurred right around the same time. The Jewish folks, Islam, and Christians are all siblings through our common ancestor, Abraham. Leanne Shamish writes, "As we approach the holiday of Passover, we think a great deal about freedom. Passover is our story of redemption. One of the highest points in the Hebrews' uneven trek toward freedom. God is present in this story. God is front and center with an outstretched arm, moving God's nation towards freedom." We could fill that with Christian language and say the same thing. That Easter is our story of redemption. So I share this poem when there are no miracles, written by Leanne Shamish. As our prayer this morning, let's join our hearts together in prayer. When there are no miracles, when the sea doesn't split to let people go, when manna doesn't fall from the sky, but bombs do, when there is no Pharaoh, but there is a Putin, when blood on the lintel is not enough to save the firstborn or the second or thirdborn, when plagues rain down and the rivers run with blood, there is no Moses, but there is a Zelensky. And there are the miracles that people create with their human hearts, with their small and vulnerable human bodies. There are miracles that people create when they search deep inside themselves and find the courage to rise on paths that cut diamond-hard edges into history. Risk, chance, redemption. Without miracles, without a Moloch, without a Seraph, but with courage, tenacity, a belief so complete one is willing to sacrifice themselves for freedom. In the absence of miracles, one step forward and then another. People become the miracles. Amen. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Thank you.
kids. All the kids that are going to hunt for eggs, come on up.
Come up for the egg hunt.
Come up for the egg hunt, she says. Be brave.
Courageous.
Be brave and of good courage. She's smiling under her mask, I can tell.
Come and it'll be fun. There's candy in your future.
Well, we've done that. Apparently.
Okay. Oh, April, it's all you, baby.
Off they go for the Easter egg hunt. Our service has almost come to a close. Easter calls us. Demands us to go out through those doors being other people's GPS and witnessing to the power and the love and the no dead ends of the resurrection. Dance, celebrate, sing, and shout for joy. Christ is risen and goes before us into the world of fear and pain. Christ has called us to bring the good news of healing, of hope, and redemption. As you go, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God enough that you fear nothing else at all. Go in peace. Amen.